Hi everyone, welcome to the third PolyNet episode. I'm Sergio Lisic and I will be your host today. Well, my guest today is Mazir John, student and activist from Uganda. He's a part of Justice Now campaign. And first, let me tell you more about Uganda. Well, Uganda is a landlocked country in East Africa that shares famous Lake Victoria with Kenya and Tanzania. Uganda was protectorate of the United Kingdom from 1894 to 1962, when it became independent country. Uganda's history is very turbulent. They have tradition of presidents taking offices by orchestrating coups, including current president, Yoweri Museveni, when he won Uganda Bush War in 1896. His regime is very brutal, especially with opposition, and it was impossible to change him through election last 34 years. Well, Bazir's campaign, Justice Now, is a non-violent platform that seeks to put an end to regime brutality by mobilizing and organizing communities to demand justice. Well, Mazir, thank you so much for being here. And first, can you tell us more about life in Uganda from perspective of young person, about life standards, opportunities, and chances that you have here?
Thank you so much. Once again, I'm Bazira John. I'm a student, a university student, and also an activist in Uganda. Currently, Uganda is comprising of over 78% youth, people of our age, having over 50% people below the age of 15. So you realize that most of our people are not school going, most of the youths are living a life of earning a living, what to eat, just simply as a survival. But currently, many of them have been taking part in the political activities as a way to express themselves in the dysfunction in our country, coming out to protest of law, the corruption bit of it, the poor governance, the poor education system, the poor health services, but most especially the closing of the political space and the denial of freedom and the right, human rights to them. So right now, many of us, people of our age, our fellow students, and even those from the informal sector, that have been taking part in the political activities currently.
When we talk about Uganda, the first person that came to my mind is Idi Amin. He was a brutal dictator from 1970s and was called the butcher of Uganda. While current president Museveni was in 1990s called by West as a new generation of African leaders. I know that he was born after Amin's presidency, but when you talk with older generations about him and his regime and the regime of President Museveni, what are the differences between those two presidents?
When we talk about our late president, His Excellency Amin Dada, he ruled Uganda for roughly 8 years. And when we assess his regime and the current regime, we are saying that I reached a time where it closed the political space and it also closed the democracy to the people of the nation. And currently where we are heading, the closing of the political space and the denial of human rights and freedom to the people, it creates no difference between the current regime and that regime of His Excellency Amin Dada. Because the difference will be measured maybe on the rights, the freedom given to the people, the political freedom, maybe the democracy given to the people, or maybe the social justice granted to the people. But once you close that, then you realize that at the end of the day, the difference is almost the similarity. Because what we read about him, what we heard about him, we are seeing some things coming back starting to happen. So we try to assess and get the difference. And apparently the difference is disappearing. Maybe the difference could be his regime, the population was a bit small, and this one is a bit big. But you apparently realize that when it comes to democracy and freedom, the difference is becoming the similarity.
As I said at the beginning, President Museveni is head of state for 34 years. When we look at the statistics, average year of population in Uganda is 15 years old. That means that 80% of population was born under his presidency. And at the beginning, when he won Uganda-Bush war, civil war in Uganda, he promised a democracy and democratic processes in your country. And today, when you look back, does his presidency have any advantages? Maybe in economy, infrastructure, education, or so on?
Having 43 million people, and you realize that the school-going children or the total population of the students, I find that it is only 15 million. Meaning that majority of our fellow Ugandans or our fellow immigrants have not accessed the school. That even when you assess and you look at the health bit of it, you realize that over 18 mothers die every day because of the poor health services in the hospitals. That when you even visit the hospitals, you may realize that each and every day we are losing victims because of accidents, road accidents, simply because of the poor roads we are having, and even another way of enforcing the traffic rules. So we are failing to appreciate the advantages of his regime as he continues to go ahead, because we do believe by now Uganda should be shifting to the first world countries, but then we are keeping stuck that even we are not in the middle-class income countries. We are still under the low-class income countries. So we are failing to appreciate his advantages of being a president up to this so long.
Early next year, in January, you have an election, presidential election, and President Museveni is seeking a re-election. His main opponent is Bobby Wine. He is a music star in Uganda and a young person. So what do you think, what chances does he have to become next president of Uganda, or President Museveni will still be your president after January elections?
When we try to assess currently between Bobby Wine or His Excellency Bobby Wine, a no presidential candidate for president of Uganda, you realize that given the fact that I've told you that most of the youths are grieved with what has been transpiring, is having majority of the population. And even these people whom would have said that they are grown up, but they have also failed to appreciate what is happening. Because these are our mothers, these are our fathers, that when you look at the current status quo, like even the brutality we are going through, these mothers, the grandmothers, are losing their children. So majority of them are seeing the denial of freedom, the denial of human rights, the closing of the political space, and all of them are saying that no, this should come to an end. So when we try to weigh between the two, it is evident that His Excellency Bobby Wine is having a higher or a upper hand in winning the next polls of election.
My last question is about future of Uganda. When Bobby Wine announced his candidacy for president, he said that Uganda didn't have peaceful transfer of power since its independence. When we look back at history, we saw that Idi Amin became president through military coup. His successor, Milton Obote, became president when Tanzania occupied the capital city of Kampala. And Museveni won a civil war, not an election. So when it's time for peaceful transfer of power from one president to another, when former president will democratically congratulate to his successor, not fight against him and his borders, is Uganda ready for that?
Apparently, we do believe that the power of the people is trying to manifest. And apparently, most of the people, when we try to look at the regions and the districts of our nation, people have embraced change. And we do believe that people are ready to stand up to fight for their freedom, to fight for social justice, and even to fight for their basic rights, which they have at receive. So certainly we have the confidence that our people are ready to embrace the change at all costs.
That was all for today. Thank you, Bazir, for being our guest. Stay tuned for next episode, and see you next Thursday. And also don't forget to follow us on Instagram @thepollinator.